Brother Joseph Chooks, are you here? Let me see your face. When did you first discover this church?
I discovered this church through my wife.
When?
That was last month.
Oh, you're just about a month here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, God bless you. And I hope you don't mind me reading it.
Eh? I don't mind.
Thank you very much. Because I felt your question, some other persons may benefit from it. This is what he said. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may God Almighty bless you, bless your ministry, and bless anyone that set his or her feet into your ministry, as I can boast of what the Lord Almighty has done for me since I started attending your programs. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, my name is Joseph Chooks, a member of RCCG, Flourishing Assembly Parish, Olodi Apapa. I was an ex-soldier also. I have some gifts of which I don't know how to make use of them. And I've severally met with some men of God but could not still come out with a satisfying result. All they try doing is to convince me and make me be part of their ministry. The gifts are as follows. Number one, I'll just answer them because you have up to about 10 of them or so. Just chop, chop, chop. I can teach and make someone understand a very difficult issue. Does that not mean you have a teaching gift? That means you are a teacher. Period. So begin to teach. Number two, when I dream, sometimes I don't recollect the views until those things start taking place physically. Amen. That means you have the gift of the word of knowledge. I read through this and there is nothing to confuse you, brother. That means anybody that dreams and it comes to pass is the word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is one of the 9 spiritual gifts listed there. Word of knowledge. The word of knowledge comes in 4 ways. It comes by dream or vision. Vision or trance is the same thing. Or an audible voice, you will hear an audible voice. Or inspiration, like a thought that just comes, but you know this is not an ordinary thought. He said, when I ask of someone unintentionally, the person must either call or appear from nowhere. When they don't, maybe all is not too cool with them. Similarly, when I think of some things, sometimes it manifests or start manifesting within some time. It is still part of the gift of the word of knowledge. When I look at something or situation, sometimes I will have a lot and see a lot of things to say about its future result, but could not say them. My mouth will be seized. Number 5, when I am silent, sometimes I hear voices talking to me directly and sometimes speaking to my mind of the future, what I should do, while sometimes I do see things which I can't explain or understand. When something bad wants to take place, I do see it, but somehow carelessly, sometimes it will still come to be. So it's still the word of knowledge, your ability to know something by the Spirit of God. Number 6, most friends do tell me that I have the luck of rectifying wrongs or error, but I know within me that I am not the one doing it, because when I want to rectify, I will only listen to that same voice and whatever it asks me to do. Once I do that, everything will be okay on its own. That is the word of wisdom. It's a gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't know what I should call this. That's your number 7. Mad people and drunkards always talk to me on the road. Harmlessly coming so close to me, telling me the future and the past, also calling me their good friend. Pastor, sincerely speaking, I don't know if I am being mad, belong to a mad world. Since mad people are always talking to you, maybe you belong to a mad one. Praise the Lord. God can use anybody to talk to you. He used an animal to talk to a prophet in the Bible. He used the dumb ass to talk to Balaam. So he can use anybody. You are not the only one. Some people sitting down here, madman has spoken to you before. So there's nothing strange in it. In contrary, I do hear another destructive voice that has the most tactical and best way to destroy every good situation, life, properties, and assets, if I'm not mistaken. This same voice always pushes me to do wrong and always give me a good reason to do that. I can only overcome it with praises. Thank God you can overcome it. Since you use praises to overcome it, continue to use praises and overcome it. Now I want you to note, church, that you that God uses, you are a vessel. You are a channel. You are a channel, and depending on who you yield yourself to, demons, Satan, will also want to use that channel. When he passes, he sees that, yes, there is something here I can use. It will come in, just as the Holy Ghost too will like to use it. But remember that it is God that ordained you with that channel. And you are not to yield yourself with anything negative. That is why, gifted brethren, you know you are gifted. You have any gift, particularly the gift, the revelatory gifts. Those of us who have the revelatory gifts, you must make it as a point of duty to know the word. The only thing that protects you is your knowledge of the word. That is what you use to judge every revelation you see. If it is contrary to the word, you know that that channel has been crossed. Praise God. Study. Read. Load yourself. He said, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know that the Bible forbids divorce, and then somebody comes to you for prayers, and you are praying, you hear a voice that says, tell her to go and divorce her husband, you will immediately go for your own self-deliverance first before you continue that. And because it is contrary to the word. Do you understand what I mean? Praise the Lord. So, it's not just to overcome that spirit with praise, because even demons praise. So you may be praising God and demons will start dancing with you. Now praise, you want praise? Okay, look with the praise now. Amen. What keeps them away is a knowledge you have and you apply it. People who are loaded with God's word, Satan does not come to them with error. He can attack you with sickness, attack you with this, but he cannot come to meet you and minister to you to do anything contrary to the word, because he knows you will face him. You face him with, it is written, Satan, get thee away from me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, you, the word of God inside of you, amen. God is no respecter of persons. Apostle Paul said we are not unaware of the device. Amen. And don't say the man is a pastor. Don't say the man is a prophet. Don't say the man is an anointed man of God. If he tells you anything contrary to the word, you say, sir, hold on. Do you know that Satan can use a man of God to speak to you? You don't know it. Okay, let me show you one. Do you know that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, Satan was using Peter to talk to Jesus Christ. Oh, no, Lila, you can't die. No, you cannot die. When Jesus knows what he came to fulfill, and Peter is trying to speak against, what did he say? Get thee behind me, Satan! He called Peter Satan. Amen. He called Peter Satan. As close as you are with me, Satan is using you, Peter. Praise God. So you don't judge the truth because of the office I hold. The office the person is speaking holds, but the word. The word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll come to that later. My brother has two spirits fighting him. And what you have to do is to watch and pray. And those of us who are gifted, we should be more prayerful than those who are not that gifted like us. To keep some of these things away from us. Number 9, at the same time, I still recognize the power of strong healing in me. That is a healing gift. Nothing should confuse you about that. Anybody you say sick anywhere, begin to pray for them. God will heal them. Number 10, when people talk, I know where they are heading to, though I can't explain what is actually happening to me, because sometimes I'll be pushed to pack to the village or to hate my wife, while sometimes I feel I don't exist, or as if the world is not real, or if I had died before. The problem with my brother is you are walking by feelings. You don't walk by feelings. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Whatever storms are around you, amen. Jesus Christ demonstrated it with Peter. Again. Peter is a good example of a believer in several angles. Hallelujah. He saw a man walking on water coming towards their boat. And Peter said, "Who be that?" Say, "Na me, Jesus." "Na lie. If you be Jesus, oh yeah, make me say waka like in a waka." I love that type of faith. Praise the Lord. And Jesus told him, "Oh yeah, now come out of the boat and walk." You know, he came out and walked on that water. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I can assure you that as soon as Peter started walking on that water, Satan made the waves to increase. Each time you take a step at the word of the Lord, expect a storm to raise. And what that storm is supposed to achieve is to take your attention away from the word. And anytime you take your attention from the word, where we get our strength, you will sink. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he made a very important point here. He said, "I was still the one that was shot by arrow on the waist, which you saw, and you said it." I feel so bad when I see people claiming problems for themselves whenever you or any of the prophets mention anything, especially the women. That's the truth. The Lord is opening my eyes. I see somebody like this. Once people are going out, they will stand up to come out. Amen. Well, you know, we are different composition when we are in the church. Brother Chooks, right? I have answered your question. Joseph Chooks. Are you clear? Come forward. Are you clear? You have any further question?
I'm okay.
You are okay. Thank you. Let's clap our hands for our God. Okay. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Fruit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters.
There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian. Christians face trials. The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
Now we have somebody here also. Sister Ruth, are you here? Okay, she's waving over there. The important thing is you are around. Ruth. Okay. You say, brother, I learned that the Holy Ghost is not in heaven, but is here on earth, and will not go back until rapture takes place, and will also not go back empty-handed. Is this true? We go talk, Ruth. Tell me who told you that. Where did you learn it? Sister Ruth, come now. You say you learned. Where did you learn it? Yes, I'm hearing you.
I learned it from a book written by Brother Ken.
Brother who?
Ken.
Ken. For this church?
No.
Where?
We went out for crusade, so I was given a book to read.
A Nigerian writer?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what he meant by that, but if I'm to answer from the strength of your question, when somebody speaks that the Holy Ghost is not in heaven but is here on earth, he is a Trinitarian man. That is the Trinitarian revelation of the Godhead. It is the Trinitarians that they die and they go to heaven and they see the throne. The Father is sitting on the throne. The Son is sitting at His right side. And the dove, the Holy Ghost, is going round. It's a Trinitarian doctrine. It has no biblical backup. That is why I say you must know the Bible so that you will understand dream. Devil will not give you dream. It's the devil that will give that type of dream to establish you in your error. Who is the Holy Ghost? He's God Himself. And He is omnipresent. He's here, He's in heaven, He's in anywhere, everywhere. The whole universe, He occupies it. Hallelujah. But for the purpose of salvation, He is now coming to dwell in man. Those He has redeemed through the baptism of the Holy Ghost to seal us. And the fact that He is here does not mean He is no more in heaven. He is everywhere. For where two or three are gathered in My name, He's there. He's here now, today, here. Praise the Lord. And any other place, they are gathering in His name. I hope you know the meaning of gathering in His name. I hope you know the meaning of that scripture. To gather in the name of Jesus is not to gather with mouth and say, we gather in Jesus' name. That's not what it means. It means we are gathering to give glory to the name of Jesus. He is there. Every gathering that is gathering, the purpose is to give glory to God. He will be there. Because there are some gatherings that are gathered to give glory to a man. Give glory to your pastor, to your Jew. Some people are worshipping men and they think they are worshipping God. Idolaters. And they don't know it. Praise the Lord. So that is, of course, He will cease to dwell in man, the Gentile church, the Gentiles. He will cease to to give anybody again the baptism of the Holy Ghost among the Gentiles after the rapture. Maybe that is what he wants to explain. Your second question. Is it true that as a kingdom principle, the anointing of the Holy Ghost does not operate with anybody above the level at which he understands and knows about his divine personality? It's also a Trinitarian question. What do you mean by the divine personality of the Holy Ghost? You read a Trinitarian book. Praise the Lord. We have enough enter message books to read. Eh? Where the carcass is fresh food, you are going to eat dead food. Eh? Are you a vulture? Or an eagle? Which one? Answer, sister. Are you an eagle or a vulture?
Eagle.
Eh? Eagle. So it's not every book you read. There are some food for vulture. There are some food for chicken. But there is food for the eagle. Hallelujah. Our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, whose original life, the original life, the original sin, the original world, is what I believe, the Son of Man. The seven seals, the original sin, the original sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the truth is, I think the other way around. As a kingdom principle, hallelujah, you can never rise beyond the level of the revelation you have. Of the what? Amen. Above the revelation you have of the word, you can never rise above it. That's why it's good to read and study. Again, you said, is it true that the feast of Passover was a coincidence with the reception of the Holy Ghost? Is there reception of the Holy Ghost? I don't understand that question. Ask it again. What do you mean by that question? I don't understand the English there.
That was what I read from the book, that there is Holy Ghost reception, and that the Holy Ghost reception is a coincidence to the Passover feast.
I wish you brought the book to read that part of it for us. My church, there are two ordinances. Maybe there's a mix up there. There are two ordinances in the Bible that must not be confused. There is the Passover feast, and there is the feast of Pentecost. Praise God. All of them, these two feasts, relate to Jesus Christ. Remember, amen. The Old Testament, Colossians 2, verse 17 says, all these ordinances, they are a shadow of things to come. If they are a shadow of things to come, they were speaking of something that was fulfilled. He said, don't think I came to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. Apostle Paul said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Okay? And the proper understanding of the Old Testament will establish you in the New Testament. Amen. You need to do it. You need to know that. If you don't place it very well, amen, there will be a lot of confusion, like the Jehovah's Witness has gone so confused. The Sabbatarians have gone so confused, misunderstanding the Old Testament. They are not able to place that in the New Testament. Now, the Passover speaks of the death of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, even Christ, our Passover. That is taking us back to Exodus chapter 12 when we are to pass over. The angel of death was to pass over Egypt. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth that night. The firstborn child, both human beings and animals, God, the angel of death, was going to cut them off, kill them. But a lamb was provided. And then you have to apply the blood in the lintels and the doorpost of the house. And when that angel sees that blood, he will pass over. And if Apostle Paul says Jesus Christ is our Passover, we also know that the angel of death will also be passing over this earth very soon. And the only people that will escape the death that is coming are those who will apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. Praise the Lord. Only Christians filled with the Holy Ghost will escape. Can't you see how blessed you are that you are a Christian? True Christian, if you are truly born again Christian, clap your hands for your salvation. Clap your hands for our God. Hallelujah. That is what the Passover, the celebration of the Passover, and the law was always to be celebrated, the law was given to be celebrated on the 14th day of the first month. And it was to be an ordinance until Christ came and fulfilled it on the cross on Calvary. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Passover is the celebration of the death of Jesus Christ, but the Pentecost is the celebration of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Let's see the type. Let's understand it in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. That particular chapter brings out some things. Okay, from verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priests. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. When? On the morrow, the next day, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And every time they come together like that, they had the feast of the first fruits, or what we call the wave offering. And when you see blind people, particularly denominational preachers, who will seize every opportunity of a scripture to pull money from the people, once they see it, they will capitalize on it and be speaking as if they are saying something. I know of a church that picks this scripture, and every year they have what they call wave offering. And to them, the wave offering means you should bring the best offering you have and wave it for everybody to see and bring it and drop it at the altar. You know, it's a very good one. You know, shame not going to make you bring anyhow one. So everybody will bring the best. Anything you're bringing, you wave it Wave it, wave it. Where? They say it's Leviticus 23. That is not the meaning. Amen. The sheaf there, there was a planting. Amen. And it was time for harvest. The first part of that harvest, just get a part of it, that is the sheaf, a handful of it. Bring it, he was specific. Bring it on the morrow, the next day after the Sabbath. When is the next day after the Sabbath? On a Sunday. Amen. On a Sunday, and the priest will wave it. Oh, glory be to God. He will wave it for all to see. Amen. And the Bible tells us, Jesus Christ, he said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Hallelujah. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. People don't even know why Jesus Christ had to die. Hallelujah. It's to fulfill all righteousness. The Bible referred to Jesus Christ as the first begotten from the dead. Jesus Christ, among the children of God, sons and daughters of God, that we are dead. We are all dead. You are alive, but you are dead. Some have been buried. All of us die. Amen. Hallelujah. Resurrection was about to take place. God was about to harvest his children from the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. The first one that resurrected in that harvest was Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The law says, bring it to the priest. When? On the morrow. On Sunday. And it was on Sunday that Jesus Christ resurrected. Hallelujah. On Sunday. One blessed Sunday, the grave will open. That was the beginning of God's harvest of his children from the earth here. That first one, he said, take it to the priest to be waved for everybody to see. Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says, Jesus Christ resurrected, graves were also open. Matthew 27 says so. Graves were open and dead saints resurrected with Jesus Christ. And they were walking the streets of Jerusalem for how many days? 40 days. Everybody was seeing them. That is the wave offering. Waving for everybody to see the first harvest of God's children from the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now there's something else happened again. Verse 15. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 15. That is where the feast of the Pentecost is explained. Now see. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. That is from when? From Sunday. The Sunday. It says, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. How many Sabbaths? 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. How many days is that? 7 times 7 is what? 49 days. Even, verse 16, unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, the next day after the 49th day, shall ye number how many days? 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Amen. Somebody catching something here. Bible students, if you love Bible, wait, how can I say? Oh, that man there, you caught it. Even before I complete, you have caught it. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Amen. Amen. See it. Let's finish that reading. There's something else I should bring out there. Verse 17. Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two tent deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with what? With what? It means this bread will be contaminated bread. It's not unleavened bread. This bread that you will bake has yeast inside. Has a sinful nature inside. He said, they are the first fruits unto the Lord. The first fruit unto the Lord. When is it to be offered? It is to be offered on the 50th day from the Sunday, from the day of the wave offering. Now, you know, hallelujah. That means after the feast of the wave offering, start to count, that is the feast of that's the wave offering, start to count 50 days. They didn't know that they were speaking of a great event that will take place. All that ordinance they were doing every year. Jesus Christ resurrected on a Sunday for the next 40 days. According to Acts chapter 1 verse 3, he was seen everywhere. Thereafter, he was taken away. Hallelujah. From that day, hallelujah, it was 10 days after. Those his disciples that were in the upper room, they are the loaves of bread baked with leaven, carnal Christians. They were sitting down there and waiting. And suddenly, the Bible says, and on the day of Pentecost, that is 50 days after the wave offering, they were gathering in the upper room, and suddenly the fire came down. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They became the first fruits. They are the first that received that fire, that Pentecostal fire. Hallelujah. That is what the feast of Pentecost is all about. And from that day till now, the Holy Ghost has not been withdrawn. The fire is still burning. Amen. Sister Ruth, I hope I have answered that part.
Chapter 19. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself ready.
Another way, say, Brother Moses, you said that one of the evidence to show that one has received the Holy Ghost is the gift that will burst out afterwards. Now my question is, can somebody have the Holy Ghost and still live a wayward life? And if the person comes back to ask for forgiveness of sin, when he or she is aware that what he has been doing is wrong in the sight of God, will he be accepted back by God? Amen. Now listen, I did not say that the evidence of the Holy Ghost is a gift bursting out. I didn't say so. But I said that the gifts, they are the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation of the Spirit is different from evidence of the Spirit. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is not seen in the manifestation of the gifts. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is seen in the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit that is in you is known. You are known. A tree is known by her fruit. Amen. If you are a devil, praise the Lord. If you are a devil can manifest a gift. But the fruit, he can't help it. But to manifest the devilish fruit, it's the Spirit in you that determines the life you live. You must understand that. If you say you have received the Holy Ghost, and then, after you've received the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongue, you see vision. But anytime you see woman, your body they charge. And you have no peace until you sleep with that woman. And even after you slept with her, nothing is stopping your conscience. That is evidence you have received an anointing, but you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Because the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to destroy that thing that is leading you to fornicate. If a man be in Christ, it's a new creature. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. Now, listen. If you read Hebrew chapter 10, if you read it from verse 26, it speaks about one who sins willfully. There is willful sin. You know that it is wrong. God forbids it. And you go willfully to commit that sin. Amen. There is no more provision for you. What else can be done for that person? Apostle Paul was teaching you so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have to know that rain falls on the just and the unjust. Apostle Paul explained it, I think in Hebrew, chapter 6. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So that you'll understand what the salvation process is all about. See, verse 4. Hebrew chapter 6 and verse 4. He says, for it is impossible for those who we are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, he said it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And this scripture can be best understood. Not too many people also understand this scripture. Born again, so-called believers, born again. In the Old Testament, we have a type that God set it there to let us know that he is no respecter of persons. Church, the story of Moses. Moses was told to go and strike a rock. And water will come out. Life will come out. He struck the rock. The second time, he was to go and speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck the rock. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Apostle Paul was telling us that that rock was Christ. What he meant by Christ is that it's a type of Christ. Hallelujah. It's a type of Christ with us now. He was struck on the cross on Calvary. And life was released to us. Remember, blood and water came out of him. From the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. He cannot take another strike again. That's why he said, every sin committed against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. But the sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost shall neither be forgiven here nor hereafter. Moses, for striking a second time, was refused entry into the promised land. With all the privileges he had, God was using it to teach us something. You cannot strike him a second time. It is for your sins that he went to the cross on Calvary. It's for our sins. He paid the debts we could not pay. He took the curses that were against us and nailed them on the cross on Calvary. He took 39 stripes for every sickness to disappear from us. The Father withdrew his spirit from him, left him there abandoned by the Roman soldiers to humiliate him. They hung him there naked, a shameful death, like a robber when he was innocent. He suffered all that. And then you come to that same cross. Hanging a cross. Some of us hang the crucifix on our room, in our neck, and everywhere. And then you do anything that will bring reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. You are crucifying him afresh. If you do anything that will make anybody say, and they say, you be Christian. And they say, you're a Christian. Now, so all of them, now, so Christian, now, so all of them, now, so Christian, now, so Christian. They say, then be Christian. Then say, you bring anything, a reproach to the name of the Lord, he will cut you off. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you have to understand that. So somebody who says he's anointed, who says he knows God, the whole community know you to be who you are, and then you live a life like a devil, you know where you are ending up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this is the way Apostle Paul put it. Let's read it. I think it's Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Where he says, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What is it that remains? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Then he went back to the Old Testament. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, said the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. People don't read this part of the Bible. They only read the Lord is good. The Lord shall supply all your need. Sow and you will reap. But that same God that makes you reap is also a God of judgment. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Who is it that will come? Say it now if you know. Who is it that will come? It's Jesus. Now, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, you see, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, born again believers, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We believe to the saving of the soul. That is our destiny. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2. I think that's the scripture. Let me read from verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, that is a pig, that was washed, turned to her wallowing in the mire. Inside potopoto, they brought you out of potopoto, they wash you, they wash this pig. A pig is a pig. Unless the nature is changed, you will remain a pig. They bring you from potopoto of sin, and then they take you inside the water and baptize you. I baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And fire came down. If that fire did not penetrate and change the nature of that pig, the nature will remain there. A pig is a pig. That's why we say the anointing you receive must pass through this flesh to your soul. If not, you will just be an anointed sinner. Oh. Praise the Lord. Won't you thank God that God can lead you to a place where you can hear the truth? Hey, clap your hands for Jesus now. Hallelujah. A few days ago, somebody called me, they are listening now, to thank me for God using me to speak the truth. He said he is from Nigeria, from Edo State. He is married. His family, his wife with three children, they are here in Nigeria also. His family is here. And he is over there, I think in Spain or so. And he said, now while he was there, he was going to church. But he said he had up to three girlfriends there in Europe. Until somehow he came across our broadcast on the net. And he said, he came across it 4 months ago. And he repented. He said he no longer has any girlfriend. He has repented. Hallelujah. He said, Pastor, listen to some of the things that you said that made me to change my mind and be closer to God. And he increased the volume and put the handset on the message he was hearing. And I was hearing my voice screaming, saying, you say you are born again. You speak in tongues and you are committing fornication. Adultery. I said, you are not born nothing. I was hearing myself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is somebody watching us, not even live here like this. God will use those people to judge those of you who are sitting down here and see fornicating. That's the truth. That's the truth. That is the truth. Because you have heard the truth. You have heard the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By this water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer, HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus. I declare this water a hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. And she said, I have seen so many servants of God that have the real anointing of God upon them. I mean, the hand of God is really upon them mightily. And people are also testifying to their ministry. But these same anointed men of God, these same Holy Ghost filled men of God, are still found fornicating. And God did not withdraw his hand from them. He said, why is this so, sir? Ha! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, why is this so? The same reason. Listen, church. A man anointed and yet living like a devil. And God has not withdrawn the anointing. It's the same reason why God is not killing the ritual killers. Is he not aware that they are using human beings to do ritual? Even Christians are arrested, are caught by them and killed and slaughtered. The same reason why he is not, doing anything against armed robbers. The same reason why he's not dealing with the sinners and unbelievers in the world. Doesn't he have power to kill them? But do you know that witches and wizards, they live longer than good people? Wicked people, their life, they live longer. Longer than good people. Why is this so? I say it's the same reason. Psalm 73, the psalmist was himself getting stumbled. But he said when he considered and he went to the sanctuary, then he understood. That what? It's because he, God, has concluded their matter. Hallelujah. Their end has been determined. So he leaves them so that they themselves, by the time they will enter that hellfire, they will know why they are entering. And those of us who have experienced the grace of God, we have seen the reality of the existence of God. With that anointing, we still live again. Like the unbelievers, our own part of hell will be hotter than the part of hell of ritual killers. Our judgment will be higher. Certainly. Certainly. Certainly our judgment will be higher. That is the reason why he has not withdrawn it. Because remember that the gift, Romans 11:29, the gift and calling of God is without repentance. Psalm 68 verse 18. He giveth his gifts to all men, even to the rebellious, that he may dwell among everybody, so that everybody will know there is a God. Then you make your decision so that when he will be passing his judgment against you, you yourself, there will be no argument. You will know, I was a devil. It's true now. I was a pastor, but I had a girlfriend. Didn't I know? I was reading the Bible. Don't you know it's in the Bible? No, some people don't know. Open 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Please, get Biro and underline it. Because this scripture, God is going to read it against somebody one day. It's there, you are seeing it. You want to enter the kingdom, that's why you are going to church. You want to go to heaven, that is why you are going to church. But church, listen. He said, this category of people will never enter. Be not deceived. That is, don't deceive yourself. He listed them, some of them up. He said, neither fornicators. If you're a fornicator, you will never enter. And you are reading it, and you are holding Bible. That's why I preached that message that I titled Unbelievers in the Church. Who is an unbeliever? It's not a great smoker outside only. There are people that are holding Bible and yet living life contrary to what that same book they hold is telling them. You are an unbeliever. Fornicators. No, idolaters. Idolaters. Idol worshippers. And there are two categories. There are Christians that still go to Babalawo. There are. Especially some of these dead churches. When I say dead church, it's a church where they will not allow the Holy Ghost to manifest. Dead. Some of them even carry the sermon books of William Branham. And yet, they will not allow the Holy Ghost. There are inter-message churches that I know of, even in this city of Lagos. If anybody during service begin to speak in tongues, they say, take that one out. You can't speak in tongues in the church. So the Holy Ghost withdraw. The witches sit down there. Then anybody they see wants to make it, then go kejam. Hey, the kejam. So when the man sit down, they go to church every day, my life, they go and say, oh boy, God, they say, he help those where they help themselves. And after all, I don't want harm anybody. If you can give me something for my this, I don't harm anybody now. Now make my life better. Now I go to Babalawo. Nobody say, and even say the man where they go me say they use Bible. The man they use Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. They are dead churches. Dead. You not allow the Holy Ghost to move. Now some of you sitting down here, you have gifts. But you cannot operate because of the church you are. You see vision. Because in that church, it's only the pastor and his wife. Any other person, if they will allow you at all, then you write it and send it to him. Then the pastor will give the revelation, like saying, Nahinsiam. So that you must not be known. It happened for Christianity. They happened. Now, those are idolaters. Then, there are also idol worshipping in the church. Do you know that there are men, hallelujah, that anywhere they go, I know of a church that give their pastor's picture to their members. How can you? They sell picture. Then, if you visit their members, anytime they are sick, they will carry that picture and put by the side. It's a terrible thing. They have turned the church members to idol worshippers and they don't know. Praise God. Hallelujah. I told you people, members of this church. Anyway, our eyes are open now. I told Apostle Paul, He said, we are not unaware of the device of Satan. See, I preach a message titled The Doctrine of Balaam. In Revelation, God still hated what Balaam did. What did Balaam do? It's what Satan is still doing now. And people don't know it. They hired Balaam to come and curse. Balak hired him to come and curse Israel. King Balak. God told him, whom I have blessed, you cannot curse. Hallelujah. Who believe that here? Look, you cannot curse me. It cannot work. Because I am blessed. I am under the blood. Amen. I am under a covenant. And the covenant I have with God is higher than the covenant that Israel had at that time. Why? That is why Jesus said, among all men born of women, none has been greater than John the Baptist. He said, nevertheless, the least in the kingdom of heaven is higher, greater than John the Baptist. Why? John the Baptist was under a covenant sealed with the blood of animal. We are under a covenant sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We are higher. We are higher. Our covenant is higher. Hallelujah. Know who you are. We are higher. You don't know who you are. They will take an animal, shed the blood, and release a curse on you. And fear will catch you. When I am under a covenant sealed with the blood, you can't touch me. No other covenant can come against me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody needs to know who you are. And when Balaam knew that you cannot curse these people, it is still happening now. Try to get that message and listen to it. The doctrine of Balaam. What Balaam did was, since you can't curse these people, curse them to have problems with their God. That is what he does. So he told Balak, they have been in the wilderness for long. If they see naked woman, you go see what they go do. Then they organized a feast at Belpoor. And then they dressed their women, you know, naked women to come and dance. They were doing, you know, to entertain them. Israel saw, you know that they will select those girls. Because the target, they know what they are after. And as soon as the Jews, I say, yay! See something. And Balak said, they are for you. Enjoy yourself. It's free, free of charge. Free. And they went and they started fornicating. God got angry with them. One day, how many died? 24,000 died one day. What a man to curse you. He couldn't succeed. He used that trick and made God to be angry with his children and then slay them. That is the doctrine of Balaam. And the same thing also, when Satan sees that there is nothing he can do against you, he will make you do something that will make God to be angry with you. So if it is God dealing with you, who will deliver you? That is exactly what Satan does with so many of us and we don't know it. Hallelujah. I told you people the other day, when they said somebody testified and said one young girl I did the deliverance, some demons used to come and cane this young girl. And she came for deliverance. She told me, and after I called deliverance on her, she came to give me testimony, open church, that when she went the night again, the demons came as usual. And then she said, no, you can't beat me again. Pastor Moses has prayed for me. Then the demons say, hey, don't call that name. And she said, Pilar say, if I call Pastor Moses. Then she said, Pastor Moses. They said, don't call that name. Then she said, Pastor Moses. And they ran. Hey, from that day she said, that name, Pastor Moses, can save me from demons. I came out and said, Nalayo! Na lie. Satan wants to, as you don't receive your deliverance now, he wants to turn you to an idol worshipper. At the mention of the name of Pastor Moses Alu, every knee must bow. Abby?
So can you see what I mean? And there are people today, when they have problems, they will run to a calendar and touch a picture of a man. If they ask you anywhere, if you see armed robbers come to you and they stop you on the way, tell them you are a bride. Praise the Lord. Our eyes of understanding God has opened. Hallelujah. Then Mumu pastor, we say, you see, I told you before, I'm not an ordinary man. At my name alone, they cast out devils. And everybody will look for Pastor Moses' picture. And then from now on, you see, Satan has turned you to an idolater. And no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Proper understanding. If I stand here by the grace of God upon me and I speak concerning a situation, if I'm a true servant of God, the Bible says God will not allow the word of his servant to fall to the ground. Listen, I conducted deliverance on that young girl and the devil wants to come back. God can be using me to let that spirit know that his servant has separated her from him, because he knows if I come any further, the angel of God may come. Because this one has received deliverance from this man of God. That is where the understanding ends. For you to think that there is a special grace anointing on Pastor Moses that you can use his name, Satan has turned you to an idolater. That's the truth. Idolater, who again? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Idolaters, they are in the church. No adulterers. You are married and you are still fornicating outside. You are an adulterer, an adulteress. But why will a married man who has a wife at home go and have a woman outside and you are going to church? Wait, when you go to church, what do they hear? Amen. It's a very serious condition in Christianity. Listen to me, you that do it. Something is wrong with you and you don't know it. You think that you are enjoying life. Satan has placed you on the pathway, expressway to hell. And you don't know it. For two reasons. Two things. Apart from you being having problem with God, again, Satan uses women to pull down men. A fornicator is playing with fire, whether you are a man or you are a woman. So many people don't know that. A fornicator, you are playing with woman. She fine. And it is worse if a man, see, it is not normal for a woman to chase a man, say, come and sleep with me. You know, it's not normal. No, a proper woman, a man go chase and tire. But when you see the woman now chasing you, you think you are handsome, that's why. There is something he has seen. She has seen something in you that Satan is bringing to destroy. You think you are handsome. Devil is on assignment against you and you don't know it.
We promise that we're going to marry now. We're going to marry. Honey, we're going to marry now. Since we're going to marry, there's nothing wrong with the chop now. Move the chop. Move the chop. Nothing now. Nothing, nothing. Nothing. Praise the Lord. Because people are sitting here listening to me. Some of them are even church workers in Bride Assembly. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Young men and women here under the pillar of fire, God has shown beyond any reasonable doubt that His presence is in this ministry. And yet they will fornicate. Now listen. Now this is important. You see, I told you, I said, I think I was saying it on Tuesday also. I said, a woman here sent me a text that she came in here last year. She was thanking me for speaking the truth. That she was married, but she had man friend, according to her language. That is, she was committing adultery outside. And she was married, and she was going to church. He said, until she came here last year, her text message is just praying for me and thanking me for yielding myself for God to use me to change her. She said she cut off that nonsense. She's repenting now. Now, but in this same place that she came and met some other people here. They came here, single brother, single sister, and then they met here. In this same place here, I am hearing. They mingle and jingle. So that tells you the composition of the church. When I hear those testimonies, I am encouraged. Because when you hear what people are doing, sometimes you get discouraged. Say, so all this is why they talk, no get effect. Praise the Lord. So who are you deceiving? You make the whole world see you like a Christian. And meanwhile, you are worse than a prostitute at the Ilara Street. You are carrying Bible. Who are you deceiving? Because there is nothing in you. Because like I said, fornication is not committed by accident. There are sins that you commit. Be ye angry and sin not. Anger can make you utter some words from your mouth that a Christian shouldn't speak. But momentarily, you know, you recover and regret it. Because it's spontaneous. It's a thing out of, you know, reflex action. You know, you react. But you can't say you fornicated by mistake. Eh? You plan it. You agree. Two of you agree. Now only one time more. Only one time. You don't say we'll be Christians. Now only one time more. After today, we'll not do them again. Now only one time more. Me, I'm not there. I don't want to have problem with God. Though. Now only one time more. Now only one time more. So you now agree. Say now only one time. We'll agree. Praise the Lord. How many people want to go to heaven here? Eh? Wait. Put down your hand. See, everybody put up hand. What? See, liars, we go to hell. There are some of you that don't want to go to heaven. People put up here. You say we put up here. You are lying. Okay. True now. Who wants to go to heaven? Put up your hand. Put down your hand. Put down your hand. Praise the Lord. See, brother, you can't go to heaven with this hair. No, that's the truth. You don't dress your hair like this. You know, just Christians don't dress like this. Are you a musician? You're a musician? Praise God. A Christian musician?
I sing Christian musician and reg.
You sing anyone? Anyone, reggae, Christian, the one with money there inside, just sing, no problem. It's okay, it's okay. Praise the Lord. But he wants to go to heaven because he put up his hand. Amen. I preached a message that I titled Conditional Salvation. Conditional salvation. Salvation is conditional. There must be something you must fulfill to be able to be saved. Sorry, I didn't mean to run you down. But I want you to know, say, amen. You know, there are some churches, men sit down with a ring. If you look now, your side, you see any man wearing a ring, he has slapped that ear and removed that earring by force, liver with small wound there. With force. It's homosexuals that announce to their members like that. And that even reminds me, do you know that there are homosexuals going to church? Praise the Lord. That's the next group of people, abusers of themselves with mankind. That is lesbians. I'm reading verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. After adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Go to Leviticus chapter 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear what he said. If a man, 20 verse 13. Leviticus chapter 20. Are we there? Verse 13. He says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, for their blood shall be upon them. Go to chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 22 is a commandment. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. So it is both homosexuals and lesbians. It is abomination. Homosexual, it is abomination. And they go to church. God also forbids tattoo. To put something on your skin. It's abomination. Chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19. Are you there? Verse 27 and verse 28. Verse 27 is talking about even your haircut. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads. Neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beards. There are some people that will go and do the haircut and leave their beard like a he-goat. When you see them going, you think like a he-goat, they go. Then there are some. I've even seen preachers, Pentecostal pastors, that will crepe and leave something here like this. I don't know what that is. God is interested in even the way we dress. Now verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Tattoo on your skin is wrong. Go and use chemical and burn that skin. Let there be wound there rather than mark. If it cannot come out. It is thus said the Lord. These scriptures, they don't read it in your church. But these are the scriptures we read here as we prepare ourselves. For we are washed by the water of the word. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. No thieves cannot enter into the kingdom.
And a thief is a thief. Big thief, small thief. Arm robber, not thief. Belegbe, not thief. Do you know Belegbe? Breaking an entry. You hang your cloth outside, carry them, na Belegbe. You drop your handset, carry them, na Belegbe. Thief, na thief. Anything that does not belong to you and you carry it, you are a thief. Without the permission of the owner. Some wives, they thief their husband money. And some husbands, they thief their wife money. You are a thief. You are a thief. Some people don't know where to thief. Na church, then they go thief. So that devil will push you to where you will never have deliverance. Inside church. No, you are finished. No covetous. No drunkards. There are plenty. And then they go church pass. Drunkards. And they say, well, I drink, but I don't get drunk. Is there any scripture that says we should not drink in the Bible? So that's why. I say, church, listen. It is very easy. Why did I receive the Holy Ghost and the taste for alcohol died? You, your own. It is after you receive the Holy Ghost that your own taste increased. The mystery is in Hebrews chapter 6. Can we read it? That's the mystery. Verse 7 and verse 8. Listen to how, what he's saying there.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God.
They receive blessing from God.
But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected.
Whose end?
And is near unto cousin, whose end is to be born.
Now, this is what that scripture is saying. He said, the rain that fall. When it falls, praise the Lord. Amen. It is a blessing to the owner of the land, isn't it? See, let me paraphrase that scripture for us to catch the true meaning. Because the day that thing was quickened to me, it was William Branham that brought it out. And when I listened to his explanation of that scripture, then I understood better the composition of the church. See, if you go outside there now, the ground is there, dry ground now, dry season. There is no grass there, isn't it? There's no grass. Amen. If you go to a farm, let me use the farm. The farmer planted his seed there. During dry season, they are waiting for rain to fall. When that rain falls, it is then you will know that there were other seeds on the ground there, other than the one you planted. But you will never know that they are there until the rain falls. If the rain did not fall, they will have all been quiet, all on the ground there. But as soon as that rain falls, every seed there will chop. It is only after the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes for the genuine seed of God to receive what is already in you, the word of God that you receive, brings the Holy Ghost fire upon it so that that word can be used to change you. There are people that will be seated among you also that will receive the Holy Ghost, but their nature will manifest as a result of that same anointing that fell down. Why will you, after you have finished receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are now speaking in tongue? Now that time, how many times you see woman, your body, they charge them more. Because that anointing has brought out what is in you. And they enjoy it. But it is true. I have seen a celeb prophet in a beer parlor that was drinking beer, and another person entered and he began to say, "Hey, you, that man, come. Hey, you the travel tomorrow. Hey, see what they see. Oh, he go up in beer. See what they see. Oh." Praise the Lord. No revelers. No extortioners. 419. 419. There are 419 in the church. Extortion. Do you know the meaning of extortion? To extort by force. To bring us something from you. And see, all those scriptures, all those things, they are in the church. Apostle Paul was not talking to those outside, a few minutes. They are all carrying Bible and they are going to church. There are extortioners in the church. When somebody, if a pastor, a minister, you come to me for prayers and hungry, they fire me. Enter spirit. See you finish, you say, we need to travel for family deliverance in your village. And then I scare you with revelation. And then collect money from you to go for family deliverance. From here to the east. Transfer money now, how much? Madakwata, 3,000, 4,000 will carry you to any village in the east. Anywhere. How you will know it's extortion is you see them negotiating. Well, 50,000. 70,000, you are an extortioner. See, I'm saying so because this tape I'm preaching now is being recorded. Ministers of God come here to buy tape. Some of them are sitting down here now. All these so-called deliverance ministries. Anytime they see you, now family, of course, they're your village. Anytime they see you, cause for your father's compound, cause. Yes, there is a genuine one that will see it. And if he goes there, he will bring it out. You will see it. And after praying for you, you will see changes. It's true. But there are fake ones. They're hungry. And they wire them. They are an extortioner. Extortioner. None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. And some of them are sitting down here now. And some are watching me now. And some are listening to me now. Praise the Lord. You are an unbeliever in the church. Anyway, Sister Ruth, now you make me say all these things now.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
My Father and my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. To worship you. Praise the Lord. Concerning deliverance, you say, is it proper for a minister of God to touch one's private parts when he's conducting deliverance for the person? Praise the Lord. Church, answer, is it proper? Huh? I think it is answered. Let me even tell you something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even in medical ethics, before a doctor examines a woman,
a female nurse will be in the room there. It's ethical to do that. Hallelujah. It's ethical. And a minister that will want to pray for a sister, if he's a true minister, for ethical reasons, somebody must be there with him. Some of these girls, they know they are coming for deliverance. They know. They go choose the dress what they go wear. Before you say, let us pray in Jesus' name. See, let me tell you something. Church, let me tell you. Listen. A moral woman that is moral. I'm talking of morality now. That, you know, knows the dignity of womanhood. Even if she is mad. In madness, not the rich, where you go open your leg anyhow. Even as they do, you go see they cover the leg. Even when she is mad. Even when you fall under anointing, and they fire, they burn you anyhow. No matter the manifestation, the morality will still keep the leg closed. But when you see those who are used to opening it to whosoever will, even with the anointing, let me out. That's what they do. Then you see sisters, when shame they catch them, they go come out their wrapper, they run to cover her. Praise the Lord. And shame no go catch them. When you wake up, you see send another person wrapper you, they tie. You're not supposed to know say something happened where they can't cover you. I was ministering here to a woman looking for fruit of the womb one day. And God opened my eyes and I gave the revelation. And to my shock, I saw a woman that went to a pastor looking for fruit of the womb. And the pastor slept with her. Jerry, you remember that day? I said, don't stand up. After service, come and see me. How many of them? 15 of them. 15 of them came to my office that they were victims. In fact, one told me that the baby is holding. Now one pastor get up. Amen. Pastor. God will have mercy on us. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, Sister Ruth, I've answered all your questions. God bless you. If you are not angry with me, clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. You know why I'm saying it so hard like this? Church, that you are still alive, it is an extension of God's mercy. You see, I'm not condemning you and saying you are going to hell. I am saying if you don't repent. Once you repent, that is exactly what God wants to see. No matter how bad you have been, what God is looking for is for you to repent. That's all. Just repent. There is always a beginning again with God. Lord, I have lived my life very useless before. Now, from today, I will not do that again. I want to go to heaven. Help me, Lord. Strengthen me and let me keep to this vow. I want to live a life pleasing before you. I've lived a careless Christian life. That is what God wants to see. That's all. That's all. That's all. I didn't say that your case is irreparable because, after all, I have stated earlier that no condition is permanent. Your condition can change. It's true. And some of us, it is these little things that are hindering our blessings that the accuser of the brethren is using against us. That's the truth. It is these little things, careless living and yet professing Christianity. God is angry with you and your life is miserable. Some of us, it's God himself that is withholding our blessings. You see, I told you people the other day when the Lord was speaking to me, he said, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change it not. I said, so many people have not bothered to go to the depth of that statement. It was because of sodomy, what do you call it? Homosexuality, that he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. What makes you now think that he will overlook your own and he will not destroy you? And you read, he is the Lord, he changeth not. You see? One day he killed 24,000 for fornication. People known by his name. He destroyed them. What makes you think he will bless you as a fornicator? What he hates yesterday, he hates it today. He will hate it tomorrow. He's the same. He changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is who he is. So a lot of us, where our Christianity is just one way in the area of satisfying the flesh. Prosperity, 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 prosperity. But every prosperity, promise of prosperity, is tied to a condition. Because he says healing, deliverance, whatever it is this children's meat. You have to be a child first before you can claim it. Praise the Lord. My prayer is that God would make me say something each time we gather like this. God will cause me to say something that will make somebody just take an inward look. Because God cannot fight for you when he is already fighting with you. We've come now for God to answer our prayers. We have faith, that's why we came here. But I want you to know that the prayer, the sacrifice of a sinner, the Bible says is abomination. The Bible says, God heareth not prayer of sinners. And who is a sinner? A sinner is one that knows God's law and refuses to keep it. That's who you are. You know it is wrong to do something and you are doing it. And you are coming again to pray, Lord, open my way for me. Each time he opens it, you will carry your hand and close it. Each time you open it, you carry your hand and close it. And you are quick, so insincere. You want somebody else to be held responsible for your misery. It is my uncle in the village. It is my stepmother. It is my wicked brother that is saying I should not prosper. Have you also looked at the part you play? Because the Bible says, if a man's way please the Lord, he maketh it to be at peace even with your enemies. Why is everybody against you? Why not take a look at yourself? The Bible says, break the edge, and serpent will bite you. If God's protection remains unbroken through your sins, no witchcraft can catch you. But they come easily. Which is in your compound, everywhere. You are the one packing out of a compound. And I always, you know, I say, I've told you something, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in packing out of any compound.
because the company is evil. Now then go pack come out because I am there. Oh, you don't understand. Christians are packing out. And I say, you say, but it was God that said I should pack out. Yes, now. God has to tell you to pack out because it's still part of his mercy. If you remain there, you cannot pray. You cannot fast. You are so weak. So to help you, God will say through a prophet, pack out of that house. Anytime you hear pack out of any house, you are a weak Christian. The power behind us are higher than the power of witches and wizards. Me, pack out of a house. Me, pack out of a house. Say what happened. Say which day? Which? Hey, which day for compound where they live? So because of you, I go pack run. Hey, Jehovah. Occultic landlord. Can't you see some Christians? Landlord go wake up, say, take your money, pack, go. I don't want you for my house. Why you say they tell you make you go? And some Christians, the landlord don't finish you. And they look you pity, you say, you know if you pay for this 2 room, okay, give me 1 room, now may you use one. You go say, hey, my landlord is very kind. He don't finish you. He look at me, they pity you. Every night they hear you, hallelujah, hallelujah. He go look you, no fire, nothing. A witch will come and tell you, I will show you. Burn that picky, make I see. And then you will see the fear. Pastor, pastor, pastor. It's because you know you are weak. You know that if you pray, the prayer not going to go anywhere. Because you know the bad party what they do. That's why you look for a man of God, to hold on to. To hold on to. All our phone numbers, ministers' phone numbers, they fool your phone. You wake up from dream. Hey, they don't come. Hey, pastor, 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 pastor. And the person, a human being like you, fear. It's because you know the righteous are as what? Bold as what? The Bible says so. The righteous are as bold as what? What makes you bold? It's your righteousness. It's your righteousness. The accuser of the brethren will come and look for something to accuse you. He can't see it. He can't come to this church and accuse us of making merchandise of the people. He can't. He can't. Because there's nothing to accuse us of. Nothing. There's nothing. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the sinner repent. So that your coming here will not be in vain. Let the sinner repent. There are sisters here that are still wearing trousers. Then they wear trousers, or will they see them for bus stop? Where are you? Which church are you from? Bride. Which bride? Our members, sisters, they don't wear earring. Our members, sisters, they don't wear trousers. Our members. You are a visitor. Now visitor you be. Don't be our member. Lie, lie. Pastor, I'm a member of Bride. Who be your pastor? Me. You don't know your pastor. Now me be your pastor. I'm a pastor of sheep, not goats. There are different types of shepherds. There are shepherds of goats and there are shepherds of sheep. I am a shepherd of sheep. Praise the Lord. And God will judge people. This young woman I was trying to tell you, I think from Ireland, no longer, she's watching me now. 3 daughters, she said she had, watching us on the screen. Our programs, last December program, they were desiring to have that same grace.
And God answered their prayer. Watching us on the screen, the three daughters received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they are prophesying in Ireland. Hallelujah. They are prophesying. And she told me that they are all in high school and that the three girls removed their earrings, removed their trousers in Ireland, listening to us like you are all listening now. In Ireland, in Oyibo land, they removed trousers. They don't wear trousers anymore. And he said that they vowed that no man will cross their legs until they marry. That is evidence of the Holy Ghost. I pray for those three young girls every day that God will help them to live through to their vow. For that is a true experience. Listening to us on air. And somebody in this atmosphere, he come out the earring now, put for inside her handbag. Now the Holy Ghost said, you daughters of God in this age, don't wear that thing. Church, let's stand up. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Raise your hand. Forever you are son.
Everything we receive from God is by faith. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Truth of delusion. They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian. Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.